Assalamu alaikum everyone. Welcome to Coffee with Ustaz. I'm your host Indra Sahib.
I'm Mubarak Shah.
Welcome. How are you, brother?
Alhamdulillah.
Mashallah. For those who are following our podcast, please do like and share our podcast, right? We are uploading our podcast on Facebook, YouTube and also on Spotify.
Yep.
And
if you want to buy us a drink.
Yes, for those who appreciate our content, please do so show your appreciation by buying us a coffee at www.buymeacoffee.com/snmtv.
I enjoy the coffee first. Thank you, guys.
So this coffee is paid by you. Thank you so much. Okay, with that, we would like to introduce our beloved Ustaz, Al-Fadhil Mukarram, Ustaz Anwar Hussein. Ahlan wa sahlan, ya Ustaz.
Ahlan wa sahlan. Jazakumullah khair again for having me.
MashaAllah,
hope
Ustaz.
All of you are fine, inshaAllah.
It's our pleasure to have you, Ustaz.
Yes.
MashaAllah.
It's always very, coming here is always
a blessing, bro.
Look forward to coming here.
Yeah, man. Man, besides the aircon, huh?
Besides the aircon and the brick walls.
Mashallah. I think today we have a very interesting, we are going to continue from our past episode where we still talk about science and the hukum adi, right?
Yeah, hukum adi.
How science is so relatable. No, I mean, how hukum adi is so relatable to science.
Yeah. Right? It's actually science a lot.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's how we refer and get our reference from, right? Mm. So, I think this episode, we want to continue where we stop from
Ustaz hukum adi. He has so many things left to share.
I think there's more to share from our first from first recording when we talk about hukum adi, right?
Yeah.
So I think to start off where we left, right? I think the last session we talk about the ruling of science, how it interacts, intertwined with hukum adi, and how it's so relatable to our belief in akidah, right? As a person who indulge in science, I mean, he himself have to have this core value of akidah, right?
Yeah, he has to know what is the Islamic position of science. And I think Ustaz, like we dealt with it quite well the last time, you know. Most important for us is that, you know, we have the empirical studies, and then we gather knowledge empirically. But then, you know, like Ustaz was saying, this hukum adi is not fixed in that sense of that it can change, correct?
When it comes to hukum adi and what we mentioned in our previous session, it is based on observation and repetition. So something that occurs based on repetition and observation, we give the ruling that this particular thing causes the effect of a particular thing.
Yeah.
So for example, Al-Imam Sanusi in the upcoming examples, and he gave about the existence of food, and the existence of fullness. And meaning, when a person consume food, and he becomes full. He becomes full.
Yeah.
So based on his experience and based on repetition, every time he's hungry, so he will consume any food, and he knows that when he consume any food, the hunger will go away. So this connection, this is what we meant by hukum al-adi, that the connection is based on repetition, is based on experience. So Islam is saying that other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have efficacy. So Islam is saying that it is not the food that make you full.
Yeah, it is Allah who makes you full. That was what we were going through the whole last step.
So it is not the asbab. It is not the means that gives any the efficacy. It is not any the fire that has the efficacy to burning. But what happens when I consume food and I become full? So Islam is telling us that it is not the means, it is not the asbab. But upon any consumption, upon any consumption, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created in me fullness. So the food is a means to that.
So we don't have, you mentioned the last time was that we don't have a problem with how you explain the how. Doesn't matter how you explain the how. But it's just for you to remember that who created the how. You know, like there's so many.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that is the ultimate. That is the ultimate thing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, also we find, for example, in the Quran, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala speaks about the how. For example, any in the Quran, any Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, any he speaks any about the formation any of the womb, the child,
the fetus,
in the womb, the stages.
Yeah.
Allah Subhanahu wa Taala speaks any about rain.
Yeah.
The formation any of rain.
Yeah.
So Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, He is the one any who gave these characteristics any to the means. And what is any the reason so that we can ponder upon the greatness of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala?
Mashallah.
So Allah any created night and day, for example, in the Quran Allah said, "Inna fi khalqi samawati wal ardi wa ikhtilafi al-layli wan nahar la ayatin li ulil albab." So for those any who possess any intelligence, so when we look any at the creations any of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala and we understand the cause and effect and we understand the means on how these are connected and how any we get to our observations and the conclusions. So we understand that all these are creations any of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, and the fact that the creations any of Allah does not have efficacy. The one any that gives any the efficacy any is Allah Subhanahu wa Taala.
Yeah.
But if a person any just look any at the means any itself, and becomes any deluded to thinking that the means any themselves any has the ultimate any efficacy.
Yeah.
And that is any problem. That is any problem in iman.
Yeah.
So that is what any we meant by when we speak about empirical laws. And we say empirical laws and it can change. Why?
Yeah.
Because the one any who created any of these laws is Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. And since any it is based any by observation and repetition, that can change. If Allah Subhanahu wa Taala wants.
Yeah.
If Allah wants.
There's something that that people constantly ask. Does this science? Let's say we talk about things that related to science. Can the daily things or the universe operate by coincidence, Ustaz? Let's say when we discuss about when we eat food, we feel the fullness of our
we feel
our,
full,
right?
Yeah.
So is that happened by chance or people always like to debate on this matter.
Yeah, what is chance?
Yeah, especially going back to
I like this question.
Yeah, especially going back to what I know, Big Bang Theory. They always said that, oh, this universe happened by chance.
By chance. Yeah.
So I kind of like one and very curious to know how Islam approach on that matter.
Of chance. Are you talking about chance?
Yes.
Yeah, of course, we mentioned that it is impossible that you have any end effect in a sense that it is contingent and you do not have any originator. And then you say any this is any by chance. So maybe we give any one example. This example is mentioned by Sheikh Sa'id Ramadan Al-Buti in his book Kubra Al-Yakiniyat. There is any a thing any that our scholars in Tawheed any they speak any about Ad-Dalil Al-Ra'iyya. Dalil Al-Ra'iyya. An example any will be Sheikh Buti any, for example, he gave any this example that if you have a watch and then you dismantle the watch, analog watch, you dismantle any all the parts. After you have dismantled any of the parts, you fix it again. You fix it again. So once you fix any of the parts to its correct positions, the watch any can function. So all these parts any are invented in great any detail, and all of these any have their own functions. So when we look any at the universe, any we find that the universe any function perfectly. Everything any is created. Everything any is placed. Everything any has any its own any function.
Yeah.
So this itself any shows any that there is a designer behind it. There is any a maker. There is an inventor. The one any who designed. The one any who brought it into existence.
Yeah.
So that is why in the Quran any when Allah told us any the importance any of pondering upon the creations any of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. For example, in Surah Al-Mulk, any Allah said, "Do you see any shortcomings and indications of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala?" All this any points any to dalil al-ra'iyya, meaning if you look any at a particular creation that is in perfection, that is functioning perfectly, then surely any there is the maker, the designer, the one any who has specified the characteristics any of this creation. So all this any will lead us any to believing that there is any a creator, yeah. And that creator any is all knowing,
yeah,
all willing,
yeah,
that he possess knowledge, yeah, that he possess wisdom,
yeah,
and he knows his creation, and he brought it into existence.
Mm.
That is a manifestation of his power. So basically, by looking at the universe, looking at the universe, and how any the universe any function, that itself any is a proof that on any the existence any of the creator.
MashaAllah.
You know, there's one very interesting thing I've read recently from one Sheikh Abdul Qadir Sufi. He said about chance.
Okay.
He said chance is the inability of you to compute all the variables. So for example, like if you throw a dice or a roulette table again, like if you go to the gambling den, there's no chance.
Okay.
There's no chance. If you could calculate
the probability,
how strong you throw the dice and which angle and which speed, and you could calculate how fast that guy turns that roulette table and everything of it, you could calculate everything, you will know exactly where you will land. But because the human mind is incapable
of that
to
kind
compute
of,
all of the variables at one time,
wow,
the laziness of our minds, we just say it's chance. There's no such thing as chance.
Mm.
There's no such thing as chance.
I think there's also a debate where people would like to put forth, right? We talk about success, right? We talk about success. Most people out there, they would deem success as a form of hard work. So if you don't put hard work, things will not come by chance, right? So they have this understanding of, okay, if I put this amount of hard work, I give my objective of like 6 months or 1 year to achieve my goal, then I will achieve success wherever I have set forth, right?
Yeah.
So that is so called a calculation of how they want to reach their objective. But most of them, they will say that it will not happen by chance. No one is successful by chance unless you win the lottery lah.
That one also no chance also. And it was determined by the ball who jump out, the guy hold the hand.
Yeah, true. And some people even go to the extent to calculate, oh, winning lottery is by chance. You know, like, you know, they will say, oh, because you tried like 1,000 times, 100 times, then suddenly you hit the jackpot. You know, some sort, even to that extent, maybe due to their ignorance, like, they will still want to hold to that matter where, okay, this is by chance.
The worst one I heard about lottery is this guy who say, ni rezeki dari Allah, bro.
Oh, stop, bro. Is that by chance?
Yeah.
Itu azab, bro. Itu azab, ya.
Yeah. But yeah, like, I get what you mean. What do you think is that about that? Like, you know, when people, like, you know, they I think what you're trying to say is that they think they make their, how to say,
argument.
They feel certain with their actions. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah.
Like they believe that whatever they do must come out like that.
There's two school of thoughts. One is like, okay, I rely totally on chance. Whatever I do, okay, cacat kuti lah, people like Melayu say lah, okay, hopefully it happen lah. But another group, they will say, no, things doesn't happen by chance. I put my hard work. And I know I will achieve it because why? I put my hard work. So there's two school of thoughts where we now want to talk about hukum adi, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who make it happen. Be it the person who have it by chance, or be it the person who have it by working hard. You get what I mean?
Yeah, I get what you mean.
You see, on the aspect any of a person, and he was saying that if I put any certain any efforts, any I will get any certain results. And he himself and he understand that things any doesn't come by chance. In the sense that there must be certain causes, certain any
inputs,
actions any that has to be done,
inputs,
certain any planning, and certain thing any that has to be done in order for him any to get any of the conclusion. So that is any of the thing any people are well aware of. And especially when it comes any to money, people and will be thinking any how they need to get money, how to do business, how to what are the things any that we should work for, what are the things any that we should avoid. So likewise any when it comes any to the universe, and when you speak any about the creation any of the creation any of the universe, and that this universe any is in perfection, that this universe any is functioning, perfectly, and so on.
Mm.
All these things, if you use any the same any analogy, we will say that this doesn't come any by chance.
Yeah,
this doesn't come any by chance, but this comes any by proper
perfection.
Mm. Brought any from non-existence, any to existence.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no room any for a person any to say that this universe any comes any by chance. It is impossible. It is impossible. And because any we can argue any about the perfection any of the universe. We can argue any about the contingency.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The contingency any of the universe. So human beings any themselves any as what you mentioned when comes any to their efforts.
Yeah.
They know the value any of the efforts.
Mm.
That if they put any more efforts, any they will get more results.
Mm.
If they don't put any efforts, any they will not any get any
result.
Just like what we study any last time in school, teachers any will say that if you study hard, you will pass.
Yeah. Mm.
But if you slack and you don't put in efforts, any to memorize any, for example, any to practice any your maths, for example, any that you will fail.
Yeah.
So people fail, and if they don't any put in any those efforts,
necessary efforts. Now.
So basically, any human beings, no matter what they are, no matter what their level of understanding any is, they understand it at a certain extent the importance any of this connection.
Yeah, even babies, right? like if you throw something behind the baby will turn. You know, it's like it's innate in our being to know there is an originator coming from somewhere, is that like, like it's not like what is that really is there already in our being.
There is this example, one any of the Western any writers, and he gave an example any of dogs. So what he did and he has a group of dogs, so he put them in a big cage, and then every time when he wants any to give food, he will ring a bell. Every time when he wants any to give food, and he will ring a bell. So this goes on any for 1 week, for 2 weeks, and then suddenly any he stopped any giving food, but he rang the bell. So the dogs, when they heard any the ringing any of the bell, straight away it comes into their mind any presence of food. This is an example of hukm al-adi. That because of repetition, because any of observation and constant observation, that food must be there. When I hear any the bell, any the food, any must be the food, any must be there. Just like putting in efforts also.
Yeah.
If I put any of these efforts, the result must be there.
Yeah.
So Islam any is saying these are the means. That this is not something any that is absolute. Everything depends any on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we can work any for the means, but the efficacy any comes any from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whenever we speak any about science, we have any to understand that
where you draw the line, was that?
Yeah, this happenings any in the universe, the formation any of rain, for example, the creation any of human beings, in the wombs any of the mother, all this any happens any by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It happens any by the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So creations any themselves any do not possess any that efficacy. So it doesn't mean any that you observe certain repetitions any that happens any in the universe. It does not mean that it is absolute. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one any who created it such, who created any the means any to function any as such. And at the same time, Allah any is the one any who ordained any that results.
I think first and foremost, for this podcast, a disclaimer, right? We are here not to challenge science in that manner. We are here to actually bring to give more enlightenment to this discussion between Islam and science, and how it's so relatable. Where science, the learning of science is very essential in Islam. So I just want to pose you a question, Ustaz. I think our scholars have this discussion or more further to the explanation of Big Bang theory. What is Islam's perspective on the theory of this Big Bang?
In the Quran, and Allah speaks any about the creation of the creation any of the universe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yani mentioned any kanata ghatqan, that this earth and the skies, it is any alam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dispersed it, then it becomes any the universe, and it came into existence. So the Quran and it speaks any about this phenomenon, about the creation any of the creation any of the universe. And then yani in the last any century any people came any with the theory of the theory any of the Big Bang.
Mm.
So we, as far as we Muslims any are concerned, any there is no any issue any with the Big Bang theory.
Mm.
The Quran and it speaks any about such existence or such thing any that happened in the beginning any of the universe. So all this any brings any to the conclusion any that this universe any has a beginning.
Mm.
So when we speak any about the Big Bang any meaning, there is any a beginning any of this. There is a beginning any of this universe.
Yeah.
Mm. The details, the Quran and it speaks any at a certain extent any of the details. Scientists any today, for example, any they speak on certain things.
Mm.
But what is any important any is that we understand that the universe any is contingent. So even any science any scientists any themselves, they believe and they speak any about the Big Bang.
Yeah.
When they speak about the Big Bang, they believe any that there is a beginning to the universe. So if you believe any that there is a Big Bang. And there is a beginning in every universe.
Mm.
It means that the universe is contingent.
Mm.
So if something is contingent, is created, there must be a creator.
Yeah. Mm.
So actually, the Big Bang any theory is something any that will make any a person come any to that conclusion that the existence any of the creator.
Yeah.
Mm. The one any who brought any the universe any into existence.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then when we look at the universe, as what we mentioned, the universe is in perfection.
Yeah.
The function any of the universe. So this creator who created the universe must possess any power and knowledge.
Yeah.
Because this universe any is a manifestation of his power.
Yeah.
And manifestation any of his knowledge.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
That he created in this universe any in its perfection, and he must have any the will any to bring any this universe any into existence. So all these any attributes any of God come into place.
Yeah.
So Islam any when we speak any about the existence any of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, we also speaks about the attribute.
Yeah.
Mm.
Attributes any of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, that Allah is omnipotent, that Allah is all willing, that He is all knowing.
Yeah.
How do we understand these attributes? By pondering any upon the creations.
Yeah.
Mm.
So when we look at the creations any of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, you understand that Allah is Hakim.
Yeah.
That Allah is wise.
Mm.
That Allah any has knowledge. Mm. That He created everything any in proportion.
Yeah.
So science any is important in a sense, and it is something that helps us to understand the greatness of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala.
Yeah.
So that is why Islam and encourage any Muslims to learn science.
Yeah.
MashaAllah.
That's what you mentioned. And Islam is not against science.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some people any thought like that.
Yeah.
When we speak about empirical laws, we are not any saying any that when we say that it is not absolute, that it can change. But we are not any against any science.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we are saying any that science is creation of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala.
Yes.
Things any happen by the permission of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala.
Yeah.
All these systems, any for example the formation any of rain and so on, condensation, precipitation, evaporation. How does any water any evaporate? Allah any is the one any who make is such. Allah is the one any who gives any there. Who gives any the effect?
Yeah.
So in the Islamic any perspective, and when you speak any about science, we always any have this connection with the Creator.
Yeah. Mm.
So we are saying any that we human beings any should not any be only any focusing on the causes and the means.
Mm. But
we forget any the connection any of the Creator.
Mm.
So in the Quran any always many verses any that Allah speaks any about science, Allah speaks any about Himself. That He is the one any who brought these things any into existence. That He is the one any who created this phenomenon and all these things.
MashaAllah.
And this is the thing about learning aqidah, about understanding any hukm al-adi.
Yeah. Mm.
So we are saying any that this thing any is happening.
Yeah.
But the efficacy any belongs any to
Allah Subhanahu.
The efficacy any belongs any to Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, and Allah any can change any the characteristics any of the characteristics any of these things.
Mm. No. About Big Bang, right? I just want to have a discussion here with Barak.
Okay.
Big Bang. I know just now Ustaz has mentioned that our scholars also have their opinion on that part, and it's mentioned in the Quran on how the existence of this dunya has been laid out, right? So, what is coming from those scientists that is very pro on this theory of this Big Bang?
Mm-hmm.
I believe they come to a conclusion where they would say that, okay, we acknowledge that this theory exists, but they don't acknowledge on the existence of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, on the existence of God itself, who create this part of the of that theory itself.
Yeah.
What is your point on that?
I think there's a lot of different theories that come along with the Big Bang theory lah. You know, there's there is this idea of multiverse, there's this idea of infinite regression, you know, a lot of things that they believe.
Very strong words,
yeah. No, what I realize the main point is kan, they just don't want to acknowledge. Say there's God. They will call it everything else.
So that means they're very pro about this theory, but they don't want to mention that God is the one who put this theory in place.
Yeah, yeah. And then we go up to the, oh, if God created this, then who created God? You know, this kind of ridiculous.
I see. So that's the argument, lah.
Yeah. Mm. But if you go really deep into it, if you really go deep into understanding the dispositions of the scientists, you realize that actually they really have very little to stand on. You know, and actually the they themselves agree. Like at the end of the day, when we look at a scientific way, we do not. We like Ustaz was saying, we are not against science, but the philosophers of science.
Okay.
The people who lay out think the foundation about science. Mm. They themselves agree that they don't have the full answers. They themselves agree that, you know, there's a limitation to my, it's just a theory. You know, this is the maximum, like, you know, this is not fact. This is not 100% true. They all agree, you know, but when we learn in school, they teach us as this is fact, this is truth, this
knowledge,
is unfathomable reality, knowledge. You know. But in reality, when you look at all the philosophers of science, they say, no, this are all theories and is possible to change, you know. So sometimes, you know, that like I was just thinking about it, like when I always hear people use, say, the Quran has the answers of all answers, right? And then some scholars will say, like, the Quran is not a science book because science can change, you know. Some of the theories will change over time.
Yeah,
like, you know, I remember one reading one book, that like this one guy, he's an anti-Islam guy lah. And so what he did was he wrote a book. And he wrote a book criticizing the Muslims. And he said, look at your scholars. They said that the earth was, the sun revolved around the earth. And the earth was flat, you know. See, your scholars believe in that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And then this scholar will try to prove it from the Quran that it's true. That the earth is flat and then the earth revolves around the thing. So what I realize is that because science is always changing,
constantly changing.
When new information comes in, new perspective comes in, they are evolving thoughts. So the Quran gives the framework, like Ustaz said, it gives the framework of what is, like, you know, like what is true.
How does the universe operate, lah?
And the most important part, correct me if I'm wrong, is that we need to realize that the purpose or who created this entire thing. The house might change, because the house, how it might change, but the intention or not intention, the will to make it happen, that is constant.
But if things that has been mentioned in the Quran relating to science, I think it will never change, because the Quran itself is the kalam of Allah, right? Yeah. I think it would never change.
Yeah. I understand.
I think what he meant in his when we speak about empirical laws.
Yeah.
The Quran addresses any empirical laws that this laws and it can change. For example, Allah speaks any about fire. In Surah Al-Waqi'ah, Allah speaks any about do they not see how fire any is fire burns. How we gave any benefit any to the we gave any fire as a benefit any to the travelers. And then the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and when he was thrown into the fire, Allah said, "Kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim." That fire that is known any as an entity that burns. That produce any heat, suddenly change to become any coal. So the Quran and it speaks any about this reality that you have any a fire, that by our definition that this is something any that burns, but the Quran and it is saying that what you thought, that what you perceive and based any on your experience, that fire any is burned. It burns any by Allah. And if Allah wants any the same fire any will be coal.
Yeah.
As how any fire any become coal any for Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam.
Yeah.
So the Quran any basically any is telling us that the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who specify the characteristic any of his creation. This is what Allah mentioned in the Quran, lahul khalqu wal amr. Yani he is the one any who create, and he is the one any who gave the characteristic any of his creation. For example, water, we know any water any, for example, can quench any our thirst. Water also any can put off any a fire. Who is the one any who gave this characteristic? Who, what is any, how come any the characteristic any of quenching is present any in water? And how come any water any can put off any a fire? When you throw water any to fire, it can any put up, put off any the fire. So these are the characteristics of the fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he created any this characteristic. So, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if he wants, he can change. So you can have any water but cannot quench. Possible or not possible? But science and he will tell you, we see how we have to experiment first. You drink first. See you quench or not. So if you quench, okay, science and he comes in and say, okay, okay, it's because any of the properties and water and so on and so forth. But there is a possibility that despite any you have drink, been drinking any water any for many years.
Salt water, was that? Doesn't quench. You make you more thirsty.
If Allah wants, if Allah wants, any that can change. If Allah wants, any that can change. That is why when we speak any about miracles, miracles go against empirical laws.
What's that? Last week you was mentioning there's more to hukum adi, right? What are those other things? Can you just refresh us? Like we were speaking about hukum adi, and then there's few other topics that you were also relating to hukum adi. The impossible of hukum adi.
Yeah, hukum adi. Hukum adi basically is divided into three three categories. We have the wajib adi, which is, we said it is absolute, but it is absolute and it based any on empirical.
This is what we've been discussing the whole time.
For example, we say water quench. Water quench. So this is absolute, but it's based on empirical. Meaning what? Meaning because it's based on repetition and experience, we know that water can quench. So we say this is wajib adi. This is absolute and it's based any on empirical. So when it comes any to wajib adi, if you ask any the question, can water not quench? Yes, that is possible because this is hukmul adi. And then we have any mustahil adi. Mustahil adi any is the impossible, but impossible any based any on empirical. For example, any we ask, fire, can fire not burn? Can fire any not burn? So we say that is impossible, but that is impossible any based on empirical, because based any on your senses, and you have been you know any that fire any burns and so on. So you say it is impossible any that fire any does not burn. But it can change. So when it comes in the hukm al-adi, it can change because it is based any on your senses and it's based any on repetitions. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can change any those characteristics. What any you perceive any as wajib adi, it can be something that is mustahil adi. It can be mustahil adi. What is any mustahil adi?
Can be.
It can be jaiz. What you call it? Something that is possible. We have any the third one. The third one any is jaiz al adi. Yeah, any is something any that is any possible. So all these laws any, as what we mentioned, and it is based any on repetition and observation. So it can be impossible. Impossible based on our observation, because we have never seen. For example, if you ask any the question, can a dead man any be alive again? This is any a question any in Aqidah. We say, is it possible for a dead person any to be alive again? When comes any to hukmul adi, we say this is mustahil adi. Mustahil adi. Because we have never seen a person who has passed away, came back to life. By our senses. Have we seen, for example, any person who has passed away, suddenly he became any alive? We have never seen this. We know that every person that passed away will die.
But we'll never wake up.
But if a person, for example, after he passed away and then he became alive again, we say this is mustahil adi. Because based on our observation, we have never seen this. But this thing happened. So this go against hukmul adi. It go against any the ruling any of the empirical, the empirical any rulings. So these are some of the things any that we, that our scholars any speak about any when it comes any to hukmul adi. So we have any the three. We had the wajib adi, mustahil any adi, and jaiz adi. So most subjects any in science like chemistry and biology, it is within any this framework any of hukmul adi. Because all these things, all these characteristics and that are created and by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within the creations are given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they function and as what Allah wants them to function.
Mm.
And we are commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to use them.
Mm.
To use them. For example, any if you are thirsty, drink water. If you are hungry, get some food. If you are sick, any go to the doctor. It is permissible any for us any in Sharia, any for us any to use any the asbab.
Yes.
But what is important is not any to be deluded any by the asbab, not to think any that the asbab any has the efficacy. So this is any the benefit of learning any hukum al-adi. Because any we understand that all these characteristics are creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have no efficacy, as what we mentioned many times. Efficacy any comes any from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are some many of the things any that is within any hukmul adi, which is different than hukmul aqli, which inshallah ta'ala we will cover after this.
Wow. MashaAllah. I think for this aspect, I want to have this discussion, Ustaz, if you allow me. I think it's very crucial where if a person would to relate a matter or a subject with this empirical laws, I think it's very crucial for that particular matter to be related back to the Sharia. I mean, whatever empirical laws that you want to prove, it has to relate back to the Sharia, not by just one person own self, like you said that his delusion or he thinks that he's so clever, so intellect, and he can prove that this is science. So I want to relate back to, I mean, this is just a question. Maybe we can open for discussion here. I want to relate back to human biology. We talk about human biology, Ustaz. For some people, they would say, okay, I'm born as a boy, but I have inclination to be a girl. You know, that kind of biology that is happening in them. Man, this is the real truth that is happening in our postmodern world, where people have this kind of incarnation. So are they relating things to empirical laws, or are they just going against their own self by stating that?
You see this. This has to do any with the Sharia. This has to do with Sharia. Why Sharia? Because the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the ones that teaches us and tells us what is the right way and what is the wrong way. So for example, when we speak any about adultery, we know that adultery any is prohibited. How do you know adultery is prohibited? And because any through revelation. The Quran speaks any about the prohibition of adultery. Hadith any of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks any about the prohibition of adultery. For example, if a person say, I have inclination any to do, na'uzubillah min zalik, any to do this zina. I have any this inclination. So straight away any we say, then this inclination, it can originate any from the desire, yani, which calls any towards doing any something that is evil, and it can originate any from the whispers any of the devil. So how do we understand that? Because this is something that by the Sharia is prohibited. So before any human beings any perform something any that is prohibited, so it must comes any from their intentions first. Comes from their intention first. So since any this intention is towards any performing any something that is prohibited, so either it is the result any of their own desires, their evil any desires, or the result any of the whispers any of the devil. So this is this knowledge any is mentioned any in books any of tasawuf any, for example, books any of Islamic and spirituality. Our scholars any speaks any about inclination. For example, like suddenly you have the inclination and need to perform prayers. Suddenly you feel that you want to, you want to perform, you want to perform any prayers. Now this is any a good form inclination. How do you know it's good? Because according to the Sharia, that performance any of the prayers any is a virtuous act. So this any inclination any is an inclination that is virtuous. Likewise, when we speak any about prohibition, the inclination any towards any doing things any that are prohibited, it comes any from the sources any that are within any the desires any of the human beings, or the whispers any of the devil. So the sources any of inclination of human beings are divided any into four parts.
MashaAllah.
The sources any of the inclination of human beings is divided into four parts. Number one, we have what is called as ilham. Ilham any is an inspiration. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can inspire people. So when you feel any, for example, and suddenly any you have a strong inclination any to do a particular virtuous any act, that can be a form any of inspiration that comes any from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
But it must be virtuous as that.
Yeah, it must be virtuous.
It must be it cannot be treacherous kind of.
We have always any have to use the sharia any as our guideline.
Okay.
In order to ascertain whether this is virtuous or not virtuous.
Yeah.
If there's something that is virtuous and is something any that strong urge any that comes any into a person, we know this is any ilham any that comes any from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing any what is called is lammatul malak. Lammatul malak any is inspiration any that comes any from the angels. Inspiration any that comes any from the angels. All this any I mentioned in the Quran. For example, in the Quran, Allah said, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. That Allah, when He created human beings, and He gave any the human beings any inspiration. What is good and what is bad. So inspiration any comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Angels any also inspire. What you call human beings, and we have many occasions any in the Quran where Allah speaks any about angels. Inspiring any some servants any of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there is a difference any between the inspiration that comes any from the angels and inspiration that comes any from Allah. The inspiration that comes any from angels any is touch based any inspiration. It is not something that is of a strong urge. So we have any these two when we speak about the virtuous inclination, and then we have another two, the opposite any of the virtuous any inclination, towards any the prohibition. So it's either any comes any from the nafs. This is where Allah mentioned in the Quran, when Allah mentioned any about the human desires, and Allah said, "Inna nafsa la ammaratun bisu." That the nature any of the human desire is that it is inclined towards things any that are prohibited. And then any we have any waswas any from Shaitan, number four. This is mentioned in Surah An-Nas, min syarril waswasil khannas, any the whispers any of the devil, because the devil any wants you to do the things any that are prohibited. So going back any to the question, any a person any has inclination any to towards what do you call it, the same sex any, for example,
sexuality,
he wants any to do any an act of sodomy any, for example, with the same sex. So now any we go back to the sharia, what is any the ruling any based any on the sharia? So we say this is prohibited, this haram, this is worse any than zina, this is worse any than zina. So but he said, but I have any this inclination.
That's the thing.
And then he said, this biology, meaning like it is something any that is prevailing nature, any, in me when I was born, any meaning any I got no choice, that it is natural and all these things. No, any it is not any natural. It is that inclination any towards something any that is prohibited. So what any we are saying any that if a person any has any this inclination, he has to fight this inclination, and if he understand that it will lead any to things and that is haram. So just like any a person say, I have inclination any to do zina. But he cannot be saying any, for example, but this is natural, you know, from young, and I have I've been having any this inclination. We say that zina is haram. So you have to fight your desire, because this the source any of this inclination any is your desire. The source of this inclination. So the problem any is your desire.
Just a quick question, sir. When we relate back to inclination, right? Definitely, every inclination there's a beginning to it. When Allah Subhanahu wa Taala will not create a slave with evil inclination or with inclination that will serve destruction to himself. Okay, Ustaz. I just gave example on the topic about smoking, because since we are talking about this topic. And we're talking about, we relate back to this habit of smoking. A child will not inherit that habit since birth. It's impossible for a baby when they are born, they have inclination towards smoking. Definitely that inclination has a beginning in his or her life due to the factor of the negative environment that he's surrounded with. Right?
Yeah.
So relating back to sexuality, I think is something that we can discuss here, Mubarak.
Yeah.
Relating back to sexuality, I think it's the same. A child will not have inclination at birth. Definitely that inclination has a beginning, be it 3 years old, 4 years old, or even 20 years old onwards, right? So, can we open this for discussion?
I think I get what you're trying to say. Like, society is the one who imprints this kind of attractions and stuff like that to the same sex. Is what you're trying to say?
The inclination. We are talking about inclination, right?
Yeah, yeah. I know one thing I think I just want to say, I think as us as Muslims have no problems of loving the same sex. Like, I love you, bro.
Okay.
Like, we have no problem like loving in the same sex. But the only problem is
Shariah,
is the lustful love.
Yeah.
That is the problem, you know? When you talk about this lustful, that is the only problem.
Love as brotherhood, I think that is permissible.
Yeah, for sure. You know, but we hug and kiss each other also sometimes.
I mean,
sometimes people also see, what's that, these Muslim guys hugging and kissing each other?
That's the way of the sahaba, yes. Yeah, and then to show love. But not in the intimate, like, okay, like wife
last
material.
Last.
No, like wife material kind of.
So I get what you're trying to say. But you're trying to say, the what we have today, the society, what we are seeing in the West, and I think definitely growing more in our society, is that because of society, because of what they see, what they experience, they are getting this, they are imprinting this own idea of this
image,
image that they want to be more.
But the problem is not about whether they are inclined or not. The problem is they say this statement where, I'm born with it. If I'm born with it, that means God want me to live this path, to live this life.
Okay, wait.
Of so, having this personality of
So first we said that one is that people are not born with these desires.
No, the first argument is that definitely that. For every inclination, there will be a beginning to the inclination.
Okay,
right?
Okay. Yeah. So are we saying that this beginning is a lot of these people, human beings, don't have this desire, or is there? Where did it came from?
You mean you're referring to the first argument, is it?
Yeah. For example, can you describe, right? Human being, we don't have. It came from somewhere.
Yeah. Right? Definitely lah. Right? It has to be for environment. Influence. So yeah.
Before it came to the environment, there was a source. What was the source?
Nothing.
Like out of nowhere. Where did that desire come from?
No. Going back to the first argument, if people who have the incarnation, definitely the incarnation will have a beginning to it.
Correct.
But since birth, you are not born with the incarnation.
Okay.
So there's nothing.
Okay.
So you have to grow up and witness the world with your own eyes. Right? And maybe at a young age of being teenagers, you know, you're curious about the world. So you know, okay, you start to understand the world. When you start to understand the world, you have inclination to certain influence. So that's where it's maybe for me, I think that's where it starts.
But where did that fella who you get influenced by got it from?
Which one? The origin. The
okay, wait, wait, okay,
yeah,
right.
You're just
you get what I'm saying. Okay, now you say,
it's getting interesting.
I'm a baby. Okay, yes. I'm a baby. I now minus 31 years old. I'm a baby. Okay?
Yeah,
I grow up. I don't know anything about this
sexuality.
Okay?
Yes.
So, but in me, naturally I'm a man lah, right? But empirically, men usually are with women lah.
Yes.
Empirically, men with women. Yes. Okay? So. But what you're saying is, like, at one age, at a certain time, I will be exposed to the idea of men and men in our time. Okay? So, and then that's where I either agree with it or get influenced by it or I say no.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? But then, where did that person who is influencing me to one man and men came from? You get me not? Like, where did that inclination came from in the first place?
Persuasion.
How did that fella influence me? How did that fella? Who is it? A person? Is it an idea?
It can be an influencer. It can be your peers.
Where did that guy got it from?
Internet.
Where did the internet got it from?
social media, we have mainstream media, we have mainstream. Okay, and then there is another group where they strongly believe that their inclination is by birth.
Mm.
So we have these two aspects where we can discuss here.
Yeah.
So we don't actually deviate so much.
I get what you mean, but I was trying to. I think what I was trying to come back to, right, was that there is a source of this intention. There is a source of this inclination.
Mm.
The inclination, you can get it from human beings, but what is the originator? Like, what is the originator of this issue? Like, we have it in the Quran, right? Like,
you see, we have to understand the nature of the nafs.
Mm.
The nature of the nafs.
Mm.
The Quran, and when it speaks any about desires, human desires, what did the Quran say? The Quran and is saying, "Inna nafsa la ammaratun bisu." The natural inclination of the human desires is towards evil.
Mm.
So this is a test from Allah Subhanahu wa Taala.
So what you say, we have the potential of evil, also.
Yeah.
Mm. Every human being has born with the potential to go towards evil.
If he obey his nafs.
Mm.
Yani, if he doesn't have any guidelines, if a person say that I'm going to do whatever my lust, or I'm going to do whatever
I want,
dangerous.
That will bring him into the destruction.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Because the nature of the desire, it is inclined only towards evil.
Yeah.
How do we know this? The Quran.
Yeah.
The Quran speaks any about speak. That is why we are in need of tazkiyah.
Yeah. Mm.
We are in need any of purification.
Yeah.
Purification any of the nafs.
Mm. Yeah.
That is why we have many verses in the Quran. Allah speaks any about the importance any to purify ourselves.
Yeah.
To go against the desire.
Yeah.
Wanahan nafsa anil hawa. This is what Allah said in the Quran.
Yeah.
Wanahan nafsa anil hawa. You have to go against. Because if you don't go against and you follow your desire, it will bring you into destruction.
Yeah.
So when we understand any the nature any of our nafs any is towards any inclination any towards any evil, then we should be careful any of our nafs.
Mm.
Do not any obey all the inclinations any of our nafs.
Yeah.
But how do we know what inclination is good and what inclination is bad?
Mm.
This is based on the Sharia.
Mm.
So for example, if a person makes any with friends and so on, he has any the inclination any to drink liquor.
Mm.
He saw any his friends, everybody, he's in an environment where everybody drinks liquor.
Mm.
So he also wants any to drink any liquor.
Mm.
So how does he know any that this act any of drinking liquor any is something that is prohibited, not prohibited? It goes back into the Sharia.
Mm.
Yeah.
So now any the Sharia is telling him that this is prohibited, you should not drink.
Yeah.
But again, it goes back into that person. Yeah. Whether you want to do it
or not,
or you do not want to do it. Whether you want to follow your desires
yeah.
or you want to go against any of your desires.
Mm.
If you follow any of your desire, then you are falling into sin.
Mm.
So likewise, when you speak, when you mention any, for example, that a child and he has no sin when he was born. Mm. Yes, of course. Yeah, a child and he has no sin. Then he is born and in a situation where he is pure, correct or not?
Yeah.
But you see, when does the reckoning any of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala comes into human beings? It is not any at the point of childhood, but it is after puberty.
Mm.
It is after any puberty. So when a child reaches any puberty, now his actions and is being held any accountable.
Mm.
So his actions and will be held any accountable. Then his any inclination any of desire and he has to be controlled.
Mm.
So he has any to study, for example, any the laws any of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, and to perform any his obligations and to refrain any from his prohibitions. And the fact that human beings are easily influenced any by the friends, easily influenced any by the environment.
Mm. Yeah.
So we have to understand this nature any of the nafs.
Yeah.
Mm.
So when you speak any about the beginning, right?
Mm.
When you speak any about the beginning any of having certain any inclination.
Desires. Yeah.
Mm.
This inclination again, if it is something any that is inclination towards something any that is prohibited.
Mm.
Its source and it can, but is from the nafs itself.
Mm.
Its source and it comes any from
the nafs
in it itself.
Mm.
So
it can be fired up by the shaitan also, is that?
There is a difference between nafs and shaitan.
Mm.
There is a difference between nafs and shaitan.
Mm.
What is any the difference? The difference any is obvious. I mean, nafs any is something that is embedded in you. Whereas any the devil is something that is outer.
Yeah. Mm.
So the devil, and he comes and whisper, the devil cannot force you any to do a particular sin. He has no power over you.
Yeah.
But what he does, any is you was visu fi sudu ginnas. He whispers. He whispers and he tries to influence you by your thoughts.
Yeah.
So he play with your thoughts. Mm. This is any the trick any of the devil.
Mm.
But at the end of the day, you are the one and you make the decision whether to do or not to do.
Yeah.
And the nature any of the nafs any is that it is pressing. It is pressing.
Mm.
And the influence any of the nafs any is far much greater than the influence of shaitan.
Mm.
The influence any of the nafs is far much greater than the influence any of shaitan. And if a person does not do anything to the nafs, then the nafs any will be inclined any to evil things.
I see.
Yeah.
The thing is that, I think, the main issue here, right, for these people, for whoever who believes that, you know, this is natural, you know, and then they claim that, you know, they have the right to do it.
Mm.
It's not a matter of whether it's a matter of belief in God, if you ask me. It's that they don't want to accept there is something, they can tell them what's right and wrong.
Mm. They are trying to justify their sin.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
They are saying that I'm helpless.
Yeah.
You know, this is not within my capacity.
Yeah.
But before we go,
but I'm born with it and all these things.
Yeah.
This is what you call it. This is trying any to run away from
the reality. Yeah.
The prohibitions.
Mm-hmm.
Because once any you say that you are forced any to do something, that you got no choice, and that is something that is in you, and you cannot do anything any about it. So you are trying any to say any that this particular action, I cannot be held accountable any because it is my fault.
Mm. Yeah,
but exactly. it is my maker's fault any because he created me any in such a way. And this is the deception of shaitan.
Yeah.
Mm. Because any the work any of shaitan any is to make something that is haram as halal.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying any to justify.
Mm.
Trying any to justify the sins.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the thing any that is happening now.
Mm-hmm.
This is the thing any that is happening. Mm-hmm. So that is why it is important for us any to address any this issue and to say that it is not you are trying any to lie any about it, about your evil and inclinations that you are inclined any to do any this sin. It is a problem any of your nafs that you have any to purify it. Mm-hmm. You have to go against it. If a person say that I have any inclination any with the same sex, this is the problem any of the nafs.
Yeah.
So we are saying any that you have to fight any that inclination, not any to say that I got no choice and all these things.
Mm.
So Muslims any have to understand that every inclination that leads any towards any prohibition and it has to be fought.
Mm.
Yani we cannot any be saying that it's okay for you to have any that inclination. Mm. No, it's not okay.
Mm.
Yani if a person any says that I have inclination to steal
or inclination to my own mother, for example, that. You know, it's the same thing.
Yeah. So we cannot be saying that it's okay for you to have an inclination. The fault in some Muslims and it fell into is to agree any with the premise that it is okay to have any that inclination, because any some people any they like kind of like force any to have any such inclination any by their circumstances any in life and so on and so forth.
Mm.
So we say it is not okay.
Correct.
It is not okay any to have any inclination, because this inclination any will lead you into destruction. Yeah. So you have any to treat the problem any from the source.
Yes.
What is the source? Your nafs.
Yes. Mm. The thing is that the reason why I bring up about this topic about sexuality, because there are individuals today where they relate this sexuality to empirical laws, where they say that, oh, naturally I'm born this way.
Mm.
So that's why I have this inclination. Yeah, no doubt. If I'm born as a man, I'm supposed to get married with a woman. That's the normal hukum adi that we see in life itself. But the thing is, they would say, oh, we can change it, right? We can change it, because why? This inclination is by birth, right? I have inclination since birth. That I'm inclined to the same sex.
I think they are wrong. You know why? You know why they're wrong?
It's not.
The whole world, we got no more people.
Understand? But it's not. It's not about just whether they are wrong. Is that the problem here? Is they are using the empirical laws to back them?
They are not using empirical laws.
I do not know. I do not know any whether they are using any of the empirical laws in the first place. whether they speak any about any empirical laws.
Mm.
But if they do any, for example,
but they talk about human biology, Ustaz. They go to the extent where, oh, biologically I'm inclined to this same sex. I mean, no doubt a person would be born with that particular, I would say, a gender, right? Muzakkar or mu'annath, right? So definitely they are born with that kind of gender, but they claim biologically, right, by science, I have this inclination. So there are these people who advocates, man, going around and advocate on this ideology, Ustaz. I think that it's a troubling time also where we have to address this issue.
Yeah, that's why human beings, and yeah, need any of revelation, and otherwise any human being, and he has his own any theory or has his own any thoughts.
Yes, yes.
Even when it comes to good and bad, and if a person doesn't have any faith, something any that is bad and it can be perceived any as good.
Yes.
And even any they can change any realities.
Mm.
There are people, and for example, they are men, but they say that, no, I'm a woman. But to me, I'm a woman. But to you, I'm a man.
Yeah.
So they have any this, confusion. What do you call it? Understanding any of that reality, and is relative any to an individual. And this is dangerous, any inequality.
Yeah. Mm.
This is dangerous. Yeah, and you are changing any realities.
Yeah.
You are, and always any based any on your own any opinion. I think any I am, so I am. So it's just any based any on their, it's just any based any on their thoughts. So the thing any this is any falsehood. Trying any to justify any certain things any as truth, any to suit any their own desires. To suit any their own desires.
It's very very similar to what you said. Is this one guy? He, your age, you know. For example, I'm 31. Example. And I said, I identify as 75. Can I do that? No. Can I do that? Does it make sense if I tell someone, I identify as 75?
Okay, what's his core? What is core belief?
I believe I'm 75. Therefore, I'm 75.
But your by status on your ID will be?
No, I'm saying, does that make sense? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
right?
But by your status on your ID is 31.
It doesn't matter. I identify as 75 means
that's the
I
thing. That's the thing. They are going against any realities.
Yeah.
This is superstar E.
I see.
In Afida, we call it superstar E.
Oh, there is such, eh?
There is.
Wow.
They don't say age. They will say sexuality.
Superstar E, they reject any realities. So this is another thing.
Yeah. There will be discussed
This is against empirical laws.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is against an empirical law. At least empirical laws that we are saying, for example, what you call it, water can quench any thirst.
Mm.
But now, if a person says that, but this is not water. Say what? This is water.
This is Milo ice.
So this is against the empirical laws.
Yeah, yeah.
They are not any using any empirical laws.
And this is very dangerous, that's because you know that means if a person believes like that, you cannot trust anything he says.
Yeah, yeah. Like there's gone. There's no reality.
There's no truth.
There is no truth. There is no reality. Yeah. Everything is relative.
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want, and
that person never put boundaries. Himself,
this is the worst in the situation that human beings how, can come to.
How to talk to this guy? How to talk to this person or
how
this
to make
woman?
Sense,
how to know? Like you talk is even,
there is no way,
no way, no way, because nothing like the bro. This is coffee. No, this is Milo ice. How to talk? Oh my God! Allah save us from that.
Inshallah.
That is why Al Imam An-Nasafi in Aqaid An-Nasafiyah, the first thing he speaks any about is about this. He said that
sources of knowledge, is that
for us to come to common grounds.
Yeah,
that you cannot argue with a superstar.
Yeah,
because superstar reject realities.
Yeah,
so you cannot you cannot have common grounds any with him.
Yeah,
but if he's not a superstar. Yes, okay, we can speak about contingency argument, we can speak any about the universe, we can speak about Big Bang, we can speak any about
string
the existence any of God and so on and so forth. But if a person says, but I don't know whether I'm in existence or not in existence, how do you want to speak to this person?
Yep, exactly.
So it is impossible.
Yeah.
It is impossible. And if you speak any about the existence any of the universe, he will say you about how you know the universe is in existence.
You know, yeah. The only way for them to know us is in pleasure or pain.
Yeah. This is what Imam Taftazani, Al Imam Taftazani, he said that the way I need to teach is to put fire.
Yeah. Let them burn their hands a bit lah. Then they know whether they are real or not.
So the issue any of the of what then you were saying when a person the issue of sexuality, the inclination of inclination, this can fall into safsata. Safsata any meaning they reject any realities.
Yeah.
That I'm not a man. Any person and he says he's a man, but he says I'm not any a man. I am any something else. So this just any based any on his what any he thinks, what is related any to him. So this is going against any reality. We have to understand. So we are not speaking about empirical laws.
But the worst the worst was they blame it on God. They blame it on God that say that oh by birth I have this inclination. That's their argument.
Like what I said, and they are trying any to justify. Justify any their act. But sadly, any some Muslims any fall into it.
Yes.
Now any we have any Muslims any for example says that but you know we have to show love and you know what to do you know they are like that and so on. You see you fall any into
that trap.
What okay, let's put it clear on the table so people don't misunderstand what you're saying.
Our podcast.
So we see if someone has this inclination, we don't reject them, sir. Do we reject them?
Dawah, say, dawah. You see, Nabi Lut alayhi salam. You see, the issue of LGBT and it's not new. The Quran speaks any about homosexuals. In many verses, not one, two verses, many verses. I don't know, I think about maybe 13, 14 or 15 any verses. Allah speaks any about Nabi Lut alayhi salam. So Nabi Lut alayhi salam, he was sent any to a people who are homosexuals. So what did he do? He do da'wah to them. Yani he did not any straight away say, oh Allah, yani bring any your adab any to them. But he approached them and say, leave what you are doing.
Yes.
So they are women that you can marry. So why are you
still inclined to
why are you any still any inclined into the men? So Nabi Lut alayhi salam is trying any to tell them the truth that what you are doing is munkar. What you are doing is a sin. This is our duty.
Yes.
So we cannot any be saying something is haram is halal. So what is haram is haram.
Yes.
Well, if this practice any of homosexuality and sodomy and so on and so forth, this is haram. We cannot say any this is halal. We cannot be saying that having inclination is okay. No, this is any one of the biggest any mistake any that I have ever heard.
Yeah,
because some people make this statement, and sadly any they are what you call it people any who. You know, like preach any the religion or something like that.
Yeah.
So this is very dangerous. This is very dangerous because once any you do that, you are making it haram is halal.
Yeah.
And you are supporting indirectly.
Yeah.
To these people, who they themselves are confused actually.
Yeah. Yes.
They are Muslims, and for example, they are confused.
Yes.
They have any disinclination, and they saw some people saying that actually it's okay.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So they're saying that okay, I have any disinclination, so it's okay for me to be gay. Some people are saying, and nowadays, for example, you can have that inclination as though you don't do it. So now, any people are saying that okay, I can become gay, but as long as I don't do any hanky panky, you know, but it's okay. Is this any what? Any we should address any this issue? No, we should make dawah. We're saying this act is haram. This inclination, and you have to fight your desires.
Yes,
you have to fight any of your desires. Pray to Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. This how any we have any to make da'wah and we have to educate.
But on the personal level, as a human on a one-to-one level like this, we don't
scrutinize them.
Don't expel them, kick them out, or hate them or something like that. Like we try our best to talk to them, speak to them, treat them human beings, lah. You know, they are human beings. No matter, they of course they have wrong inclinations. Just like we know there's many people who do wrong things, but we have no revenge or vengefulness against them at all.
Yeah.
You know, instead we are, just to make it clear, because maybe
we hate the sin, but we care for the sinner. So we must always also bear in mind any how to save them. There are people, any for example, out there, they are in this dilemma.
Yeah.
And they are in need of help.
Yeah.
So we have to offer help. We cannot any just be condemning any people, any for example, and then we also do not know any what to do in a sense.
I mean, the most important part for them, these people also to realize, whatever your inclinations, like every human being has their secret or a challenge dark that they are facing,
dark side.
And everyone is facing themselves.
I think like inclination, as a whole, Ustaz, I think it's like it's just like an addiction. Like when if like a person who are addicted to alcohol, right? I mean, the inclination has start somewhere in his life and it become an addiction, it become his way of life, and it can be treated.
Yeah,
but yeah, it can be treated. Mm-hmm. I think the same way as how we're going to approach this LGBT, it's the same approach. Mm. It can be attend to. It can be treated in a very harmonious way.
Yeah. Mm. That's the most important part now.
So I think our episode have encompassed a lot of issues.
We went to science and you went to ethics. Thank you, Indra.
Inspiration. Maybe it's an inspiration. Huh?
Next thing, Ustaz, are we going to talk about hukum akal?
Yeah, hukum akal. Yeah.
Rational laws.
Yeah, I think we're going to rational laws. I think is more wide in that aspect of topic, inshallah.
Okay, let's time for mind-boggling session next
week. Yeah.
Next week. Yeah.
So, thank you, Ustaz, for coming down and
always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
Share great values on this podcast.
Yeah. Jazakumullah khair.
Alhamdulillah. Inshallah.
Thank you very much.
And for those who are listening and also viewing, please do like and share this podcast. And we hope to see you guys. Right.
And if you have any questions, don't forget.
Yeah, please post your question on our Facebook, on our Facebook page, on our YouTube channel, and you can DM us on our social media platform.
Yeah,
inshallah.
Get us some coffee. Yeah. Dah habis dah.
You all can buy us coffee. By the way, just a shout out again. You all can, if you all appreciate our content, please do buy us a coffee at www.buymeacoffee.com/snmtv. So with that, signing off from Coffee Ustaz, I'm your host, Indra Sahib.
I'm Mubarak Shah.
See you all soon. Assalamualaikum.
Assalamualaikum.